how honorable and respectful it is to give your all. And like, it's not just for you, it's like for your competitors as well, so that you can get to the finish line, whether you beat that person or you lost to them. Like, you can look them in the eye and say, I gave you my best. And I'm really proud of that. And I hope that you gave me your best too. Like, that's kind of the, we talk about, Tyler and I talk about that as like this contract that we enter into with our competitors, that like, we vow to give them our best. And that doesn't mean that we're the most fit we've ever been, but on that particular day, like, we will honor that contract.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Trail Network podcast. So happy you're here. On this week's episode, I'm joined by my three co-hosts to catch up about what's been going on since the last time we chatted. We hear from Hillary about her race at Leona Divide, Rachel about her upcoming race at Madeira, and we hear about Katie's first gravel race. We also dive into some thoughts on coaching and figuring out what works best for you. Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Trail Network podcast. I'm your host, Leah Yingling, and I'm here with my three co-hosts. We've got
Rachel Drake,
Katie Asmuth,
and Hillary Yang.
We're really excited to sit down and just chat today. It's a Sunday evening, and I think we've all had some pretty busy weekends, pretty busy weeks. And I think today I'm most excited to hear from Hillary, who just ran an incredible Leonota Divide 100K this weekend. Hillary, how did that go?
Oh, no. It was not the 100K. It was a 55K. But it felt like 100K. So.
Yeah, she's like, thank God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know. It was like the first real hot day in SoCal. And it's been like rainy and cold in LA. And I was not prepared. So also, the only reason I was running this race was St. Patrick's Day. We had our friends Gabby and Elon Lieber in town because Elon was running the LA Marathon. And we were all at a bar after the race doing shots of Jameson. And
naturally,
somehow there was like bets associated with some very competitive games of skee ball. And Gabby lost the bet. So she was supposed to sign up for a race. And then somehow that turned into Billy and I signing up in solidarity with her. So it's like, wait a minute, you lost the bet. And like, somehow we're all running this 55K in a couple weeks.
True friendship.
Right, I know, there. I know. You know, it's just kind of fun. I kind of love these things. It's like, it's a stupid idea, but let's all do it together. And like, Elon's running Canyons next weekend, so he got a pass, but he had to come out and crew all of us. But yeah, like, honestly, I don't know. It seems like every year I kind of end up in these like early season, like rust busters. And I know, Rachel, it was probably like your gorge race last week. You're just like, this feels fast and hard and like more than I want it to be. And like, yep. You know, just trying to like dust everything off. Like the last race I did was I Am Tough in September. And that feels like a really long time ago. And like just skiing this winter and doing like 30 mile weeks and being like, this is great. And then I'm also like, I have a 200 miler in August. Like eventually I have to like ramp it up a little bit. So yeah, that was anyways, there's a backstory on how we ended up doing this race like super last minute.
I think it's funny how fast 55Ks can feel. I think to the outside world, like 50K and beyond is still just unimaginable. But I think for us who do the longer distance, sometimes we're like, just the 55K, just the 50K. And man, those can feel fast sometimes, especially when you're training for something like a 200 miler.
Guys, we need to take the word just
totally.
out of our vocabulary, because it is that whole concept of it's just the, mm-hmm. You know, and honestly, this shorter races are so fast and harder.
Like hard.
Harder. I was like kind of jealous of the 100 milers because they were like happily hiking everything. And I'm like, oh. Just coming through. I got to run this hill. So I'm only doing the 55K. But you're totally right, Katie. I totally agree. I always correct myself and correct other people because no matter how many of these you've done, it's like it's a far distance to travel on your own 2 feet, you know? And I don't know about you guys, but I always like finish a day like that. And for me, it was like hard day and a hot day. And I think, how in the hell am I going to run like 3 or 4 times that distance, like in a few months or whatever, slower. Like the big races? Yeah, yeah, it's just like, you just kind of like, you just realize the scope and you're just like, oh, like that's a long time to be on my feet for. So
It's like different sports almost.
Totally different. Yeah. And even like, so with the race yesterday, like they started the 100K and the 100 miler like half an hour, or an hour before us. But I didn't realize that the course is like a whole bunch of out and backs on single track. Beautiful. It's on the PCT, super exposed, like not a tree on the whole course. But you see everybody all day. Like you kind of like the 55K started like last. We started at 7. So you're like catching up to everyone who started earlier and you're passing everyone, but then you're also passing everyone on the way back. And you can see like where all the women are. And like it's just like kind of interesting. You're very aware of like where everybody is. Like good and bad. I got really good at doing like the sideways, like running by kind of like on the side of the hill. Like,
Did you like that? I feel like that'd be annoying. I don't know.
You know, it was kind of funny. At first I was like, great job. It's so good to see you. And then after a while I was like, thumbs up as I went by. Just like
grunting.
We're all in it, but I've seen you 3 times already, you know, like, but it was super fun. So, my friend Gabby, we went out together and there was like 10 women that all went out in like a big pack and you're like running up the hill and I'm sort of like, you're just sort of like trying to figure out the day. And she trained for a road marathon earlier this spring and she did the Napa Valley Marathon and came in under sub 3. And that was like her big goal that she trained for. And it was really fun because I feel like this is like a race that translated really well to being able to run more.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, can we give a shout out to Gabby Hillary real quick?
Oh, I know.
Because she's also coming back from an avicular fracture.
Last year and this so time, she was in a boot. We were talking about that. She had crutches. Mm-hmm. Like, this was such a celebration for her. See, Katie?
I know. Well, we've had a lot of, like, love back and forth. And then I remember when she was like, I'm out of the boot. And it was – I hadn't told anybody yet. And I was literally on driving to Stanford to get shockwave therapy on my foot in hopes that I wouldn't have to do surgery again in July, this past July. And just her being like, it's healed. And I'm thinking to myself, like, just wait. Like, was it an x-ray? How did they clear you? Make sure it's an MRI. Like, you know, like, be careful still.
Don't walk on
it. She's good. So yeah. I'm so happy for her. So anyways, I know some bones heal, some bones don't.
Yours is going to get there. Come on, little foot.
Eventually they heal, right?
But totally.
Anyways, okay, shout out Gabby. She's awesome.
Huge shout out, Gabby. Yeah, and it was like so fun getting to like share miles with her. And like I love the mom and pop races because I feel like even watching everybody out there, some people just know they're there for a very long day, but they're so good with it. Like they're just chilling. And I feel like that's such a nice thing to be reminded of, you know, just like there was like little packs that were all just going together and everybody's just like, yeah, like it's, you know, different goals for different days. And I don't know. I love these like smaller races. Like Kira Henninger is just such a, like she's been doing these races for a long time. They had tampons at the aid stations. And I was like, you know, you have a female race director when there's tampons at the aid stations, which was like, yeah, I don't know. I just like, I love that feel. But yeah, the heat, man, like it got hot fast. And Gabby and I ran like the first 13 miles together. And then I like sent her off and I was like, I'm just going to focus on my nutrition. Like that was my whole goal. And especially like thinking of our conversations, Rachel, like I was like 90 grams an hour. Like that's what I'm going to aim for with my carbs. And I had those like precision fuel pouches that are like 360 calories. It's hard to get that much food in. Like it worked for the first like 3 to 4 hours. And then I was just like, I am nauseous. Like it just kicked in. Like, I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Do you train I know you're like that much? Or were you just like zero to hero in the race? Because I feel like that's something we don't talk about. We don't talk about training our gut in addition to training our muscles.
You're probably very right.
I think about this a lot from like sub elite and like non elite perspective in the runner space with just, you know, we preached that perspective a lot with like having to train with what you run with. But like I get some nutrition from the feed and then I'm also sponsored by Goo and it's so easy for me to train the way I fuel my races. And I think about the other like 99% of the population out there that is buying all the race nutrition with their own hard earned money. And it gets so expensive. And I know that there's other things we can use. Like I often use a lot of like candy and fruit snacks in my training as well, but man, it's tough.
It's true. I actually, yeah, I'm not sponsored by any nutrition company. So, you know, just saying, but it's true. I totally hoard my gels and like my special race food for races. Mm-hmm. And I totally don't train with it because I'm like, that's $5 a gel. Like, why am I going to do that? You know,
you're like, my long run just spent like was $100.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If only my fueling was that good. But yeah, no, it's like, it adds up fast. And so I totally put in an order on the feed for like all the precision fuel like the week before, and it got here on Thursday. And so off I tootled to Leona Divide with all my freshly minted calories that I had not like tested. I mean, I've used their stuff before, but not to the volume that I was going to try to do. And I think, Rachel, like, super valid point on that. Like, I don't try to shove that much food in my gut ever during runs. And my body is like, for better or worse, like used to going off of less. And yeah, that's a problem.
I was going to say, I think that it's worth it to train the gut, is we know that 6 weeks out before your race, you want to start training your gut. But you can even do it as close to 3 weeks before your race. So because like the gut lining is constantly changing, but you're wanting to expose yourself to what you're actually going to be using during the race. And preferably at the, like, how hot and the humidity that you're going to be racing in, so you can kind of get some sort of feel for it. But I mean, I think it's worth it even just a couple times to do it before your race is worth it. Maybe even not for 6 months before, you know, like it does get really expensive. But just a thought there.
I have a question for the group as like a thought experiment. So, of course, ideal world, we train with the fuel that we're planning on eating on race day. But do you all think it's okay if you, yeah, maybe you train with a little bit. Say you go out on a run and half of your calories are from gummy bears and Snickers bars and half are from gels, but you're hitting your grams of carbohydrate target in that run, but in a little bit more thrifty way. Do you think that's as good as fueling with exactly what you're fueling with on race day?
I think it is, as long as you're getting a portion of that from the same style of gel or liquid nutrition that you're going to go for on race day. I actually think it might even be better for you because you're training your stomach. Let's say you're taking a Snickers bar out. Like, that's a little harder to digest than putting down a 100 calorie goo roctane gel that's made for performance. So I think it does teach your body to kind of work a little harder to digest things that you might be getting as like really simple sugars on race day.
Yeah, I like that. True. It's like a little bit of a good middle ground, I think.
It's a good point.
I was thinking about after our talk last week, you guys, I was thinking about Marian Hogan at Western States eating this like massive turkey sandwich and being like, like with mayonnaise and mustard and like lettuce and just being like, oh my God, you know? But some people can do
what
that. And that's like such a... Yeah,
and
right.
What a superhero. In the heat?
Okay.
Yes.
That's
Matt
a flex.
Incredible. Matt Daniels, the year he got fourth, I will never forget seeing him at Michigan Bluff eating a straight up piece of bologna. Who's like, who? Why are you eating bologna right now? I mean, obviously he crushed it. It was amazing. But I was just like, this is insane.
Oh, Hillary, next time bring bologna. Yeah,
I know.
It turns out.
I mean, I love a good charcuterie, but like it was all I could do to pour the gel down my throat. It's terrible. I did do my like little packets of olives because I was like, I'm super low salt. By the second one, I was like, I don't even want to taste it. I'm just pouring it down my throat. So I have to say, reporting back on that strategy for hotter races, I would go with just like salt pills and like be a little bit more efficient. I was like, I'm gonna love eating these olives. I was like, I don't want to taste them. I just like they have to go down my throat.
It was hot out there. You're coming from probably a not super hot winter of training to first race of the season. Yeah, how did you prepare for that? And like, how did you manage it out there when it did get tough? Because I do think we're on that shoulder season right now, you know, it's end of April almost, and our races at this point forward like have the very high potential to be hot, and sometimes it's a little unpredictable. Like I was looking at the weather for canyons this coming weekend, and last year it was about 90 degrees for the canyons 100k. This year it's calling for like 55 to 62, which is quite pleasant for the canyons 100k. So I think we always need to be ready for the heat, So yeah, what were your thoughts on managing that and preparing for that?
I mean, this was a very spontaneous decision, this whole race idea. So I can't say that there was a whole lot of thought put into it. It occurred to me last week that it was going to be hot, but it also rained all last weekend. So I was sort of like, well, like, there goes that opportunity. I really think, yeah, no, I know. I almost like went and found one, but I really think like the bigger problem is that I don't train with enough calories. Like I totally own that. And that totally bit me in the butt because I was like just really amped up after all of our conversations to like hit that. And then just, I think I felt like my stomach was bloated and full and like I didn't want to put anything else in there, but it was like just a longer race than I thought it was going to be. And it was like weird. So Gabby ended up winning, which was amazing. Woo! And it was like so much fun because we ran together for the first little bit. And then I was like, I could just tell she was feeling like really good. And I was like, just like go have a good day. She's running Miwok 100 in 2 weeks. And I was like, this is a great way to just like feel really good about your training. And so then I saw her like on the out and back later and she'd passed like the other woman that were in front of us and she was in first and I fully just like burst into tears. And I think I was like a little dizzy because I was out of water, but I was also just like, you're winning. I'm so proud of you. but it was like, that was super fun. And she got fifth overall. Yeah. Like just totally crushed it. So that was the fun part of the out and backs was like, I knew she was like crushing it. And also like Billy was out there and like I got to see him. And he like definitely had a suffer fest as well. Like we were like debriefing today.
Do you guys stop and smooch when you see each other? Or are you
we
like,
did. It was really sticky. Nice. It was like, well, and where I was, I ended up finishing fifth, but like basically like 1 through 6 for the women were like only a couple minutes apart for most of the day. And because you knew where everyone was and I could see like their packs like up ahead on the trails and stuff. So like we didn't really stop for more than a second because I was just like, gotta go. Like, but it was nice. It was still like nice to know where he was. And I felt bad because he was like, I've been out of water for an hour. And I was like, so am I, you know, like, and that's, I think, just because we weren't heat trained and like, you know, just weren't prepared for that. So I kind of ran out of water between aid stations. And I think I just like underestimated how much I needed, you know, I had 2 flasks and it was just like they're long hot climbs that you're trying to run. And just like, yeah, all those things that you forget about running a hot race. Like over the winter, I sort of settled into this like, you know, like high 50s, low 60s runs, like really comfortable, can go with like not a ton of water. And then it just kind of cranked up. The car temperature said 94 degrees at the end. So I don't know exactly how hot it was, but it, like in those canyons, it was like it had that like heat, like you're kind of like in an oven, you know? So that was just like a lot. It's actually kind of funny. So I love my mantras and I definitely like was kind of running through them all in my head and trying to like just like find the best one that worked. And I don't know if you saw Courtney's post from last week where she talked about her like the robot shirt and just like the meaning of it. But that was my mantra yesterday. It was like, I was like, I am the robot. I am the robot. Just like kept repeating that to myself. Because it's just like, I kind of had to turn my brain off, you know? And especially like I knew like 3 and 4 were right in front of me. I could see them, but I just didn't have enough like gas to go get them. But then like 6 was right behind me. She was like 20 feet behind me on all these like descents and climbs and coming in and out of the aid station. We're all right there. So I just like, I was like, turn my brain off, like 1 foot, 2 foot. Like, and I don't know, you guys get to race more in these fields that are so stacked now. But I feel like I haven't raced as much in the last few years and it's gotten so competitive and it's like, it's fun, even in a race like Leona Divide, where it's like, yeah, there's no like huge names, but there's just a bunch of women that are really solid runners.
It's cool to see just like the level of competition and how that can push you in different ways too, because you're always, I feel like we're always surrounded by women these days and like rarely are we really running solo and alone. And I think it's that push and pull that's really nice to bring out the best in each other.
It was fun.
The depth is deep.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. Like, I kind of get it. Like, this, I don't get to kind of race in, like, this much of a tight field. And it was just, like, really fun. And, like, even coming into the last aid station, we had 7 miles to go. And, like, the girl behind me, like, she's podiumed a few times at it. I knew she was really experienced. And I just like spontaneously turned around and gave her a big hug. And then I was like, okay, bye. And it was like, it was kind of fun because I felt like it was like good competition. Like we both were kind of bringing out the best in each other. And like, it didn't really matter. I didn't really care. Like it wasn't an A race. It was sort of just like for me. But it was also kind of fun to lean into that mentality of just like, you just like try not to give in. Like, I don't know how often you fight those thoughts when you're being chased of just like, I don't know if I got it. Like, I should just let her go. Like, and then you're like, no, I'm going to make her work for it. I'm going to make her like earn it if she's going to go. And it was totally that conversation for me. And you kind of forget that she's like also having the same conversation in her head of like, no, I'm just going to, you know, like you think you're the only one suffering out there. And that everyone else is feeling great. And it's kind of funny, like afterwards we were all debriefing and it's like, no, we were all just hanging on by a thread and like trying not to crack, you know?
I think it's also like, at least I try to think of it in those situations where you're like, you just want an excuse to stop or like you're not, you know, you're having trouble or you're hanging on by a thread. I just think about like how, I guess, how honorable and respectful it is to give your all, and like it's not just for you, it's like for your competitors as well, so that you can get to the finish line, whether you beat that person or you lost to them. Like you can look them in the eye and say, I gave you my best, and I'm really proud of that, and I hope that you gave me your best too. Like that's kind of the, we talk about, Tyler and I talk about that as like this contract that we enter into with our competitors, that like we vow to give them our best. And that doesn't mean that we're the most fit we've ever been, but on that particular day, like we will honor that contract. And
I love that so much. And it also makes me think of that counter phrase that you hear from a lot of competitors at times, whether it's in a Strava write up afterwards or on Instagram or even to your face, is like, yeah, that wasn't bad. That was like a training race of mine. That was a B race. And it almost like invalidates your result at times. So Rachel, I love that perspective because I think that's the counter. It's respectful. It's that contract we should be entering in with ourselves. And honestly, I need to think about my races more in the way that you just described, because I think it's super easy to get complacent and content. I feel like I'm never exactly winning races. I'm often like, I'm really good at getting second place. And it's, I love that because I think what you said is it would push me to a much higher level to like really dig deep when I think first place is, you know, just completely out there and intangible, when in actuality, dig a little deeper, like respect yourself, respect your competitors. I love that.
Yeah. I think this is why like Way Too Cool last year still haunts me, because I went into that race, like, I don't even know. I was just coming off being injured. I was not trained for that race at all. And I'm so excited to see you. And I was just like, I can't wait to catch up. And this is going to be just like a long run day for me. And then it hit me like at mile, 17, 18? Like, oh my God, we got to stop talking. We have to race. Like, go. I'm so sorry. Go, go, go. And I just remember feeling like, oh my God, I've completely derailed her race because I'm just like chatting it up and like, oh my gosh. And
we had so much to catch up on though.
And you barely, like, oh my gosh, you were so close to winning that race. And I still feel responsible for it because you were like 4 minutes from first. And oh, it was totally my fault. Like, I definitely slowed you down. Anyway, I still feel bad about that. So I definitely owe you bonus money.
No, you're good. Sorry, we had so much to catch up on. I think that was right when I.
But it's true, like going into a race and just with your fellow competitor, like your friends that are out there, because so many of us are racing against our friends. And it is good, I think, to have those conversations beforehand, like, yeah, I'm going for it. Or like, this is my training, right? You know, I don't know. I wish I would have been maybe more vocal about that with you so that you could have left me earlier. Anyway, I still feel bad.
That's
about
a good
that.
Point though, Katie. Like, because I think at times I don't like racing my friends for whatever reasons. I just don't love it. But I mean, I love those times where we can like catch up and engage. But I think it's just this like people pleasing element of me that like I don't know how to race like super aggressively when I'm lining
like
up.
When do I say bye? Like when do I just be like, okay.
Well, and it's a 50K, right? It's not our 100-mile race that we're used to. That's like you have all day, right? So it's like you can catch up for the first 30 miles, right? It is kind of a different pacing strategy. But anyways, I'm sorry, Leah.
Yeah, this is actually like, cute. This leads into a conversation and like a thought that I had. Mike and I were out at Lake Sonoma last weekend, and the women's race was really interesting It was Lindsay Allison ended up winning. My good friend Anna Fisher got second. She was about 30 seconds back. And then Andrea Stofko was about 2.5 minutes back from her.
That's so close. And
Lindsay and Anna spent 48 and a half miles together. Like, they were chatting it up all day long. And every time we saw them, Mike and I said it looked like they were out on a long run. And then with 1.5 miles to go, I think Lindsay had said something like, I think we should probably start racing now. And then they raced to the finish, and Lindsay ended up coming out on top by about 30 seconds. But it got in, like, it made me think about, you know, women in ultra running these days. Like, we're so supportive of each other. Like, we love each other so much. We love to, like, race with each other and, like, have these conversations and catch up. But yeah, Katie, like you mentioned, it's almost like beneficial to have these, like, conversations at the start line or, like, beforehand. Like, what am I trying to get out of today? Because then it almost turns into these, like, you run the whole day together. And then what? At what point do you turn it on?
But I feel like that's like, yeah, that was on me. I definitely should have, I don't know. But how amazing. It's like Sonoma race. I didn't hear about how close that was. This needs to be told. Guys, this is a head-to-head. We need on the pod. Well,
apparently it was a side-by-side because they were enjoying their day.
I don't think the listeners know our names, our kitschy names. For
oh, my God.
I feel it's also totally respectable and, like, okay to – if you're running with someone who's chatting you up, it's okay to be like, hey, I think I'm gonna try to push it a little more now. Like, and that's a good cue to just say, I don't want to chat. Like, I want to see what I can get out of myself.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more of a girl problem than a guy problem. Like, I feel like the guys, like, they're not worried about hurting each other's feelings when we're out there. It's like classic girls are like, oh, but you're my friend.
In 2019, I was in France for a conference, a grad school conference in Paris. And it was the Society for Reproductive Investigation. And I found this race that I thought was like just a random race in Bédouin. I'm probably not saying that right, but it's near Mont Ventoux. So there was this trail race I signed up for. I'm running this race. I thought I was in like third, but eventually I found out that I was in the lead. And probably with like 2K, 3K left to go, someone caught up to me, and it was Blondine Lirondelle.
And oh my God, you're like,
no, I didn't know who she was. She hadn't really done anything yet in her career. And she was like talking to me in French, and I was like, je ne sais pas. That means like, I don't know, like, I don't speak French. And so she starts talking to me in English, and she says, oh, do you want to finish the race together? And I'm like, I'm just going to keep running my pace. Like, if you want to run with me, that's fine. And then I just like sent it. Like,
that was your trigger. You're like, flip the switch.
I'm not. Hell like, my pace got faster.
I didn't want to say no, I don't want to finish with you, but like, I wanted to race. So yeah. I don't know. That was my way of being like, I'm just going to run my pace.
Especially if you haven't run the whole race together. Like, it's one thing maybe if like you'd run step by step and battled it out and you're like, no, we deserve this together. But like, she, you know, you're like, I don't know, you just came up here. Like,
I think even if I was running with a friend and they were like, do you want to finish together? It sounds tempting because then it means you don't have to push. But it's also like in my heart, it doesn't feel like in the spirit of the sport the way that I see it. Not that I frown down on people for doing it themselves if they feel like that's what's right for them. But I just think it's fun to go to the very end the best that you can.
I think it's funny. So that's why Way Too Cool for Me will always stand out, because I'm this like fiery competitor. Like, I like to push myself to the very depths. Like, I want to go all out. And I was the first race and really only race that I didn't do that. And like, anyway, so I will never forget it. But anyway, it's funny.
Why was it that you didn't? Was it because you're coming back? Because
my coach, well, we can talk about coaching, but I had just gotten cleared in like early January to start running, and the race was early March, and it just wasn't enough time for me to build after surgery to get to be able to be racing a 50K. So he's like, just go out and have a solid day, like a solid long run. And
so you had only been running for 4 weeks after this whole navicular thing when you ran a 50K?
No. So, my surgery was in July, the July prior. And then I got cleared. It was like in end of November, mid-November, I got cleared to do like elliptical and some like
– But you hadn't started running like, until the end of
January. But not like training running. No, not till January, early January. I started like training. And so from then it was like, all right. And I was training. I had to drive down to Bishop. It was crazy winter in Mammoth and like record-breaking winter. And so I had to drive down 5 days a week to try and get to dirt. And it was a whole thing, but I was super committed and I did it. And it wasn't on really technical terrain. I thought my foot would be okay because I was taking it really easy. I was really trying to be conservative. And everybody had cleared me, you know? And I had no pain and I felt good and whatever. Anyway, but yeah, I didn't feel bad that day. I felt great. But I just was like purposely not trying to like hurt myself. I was like, I just want to be a part of the community. I miss people.
That's a hard race to do that at though, because it is so competitive. Like that's such a fast one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't that. There were probably like six of us going for it, Leah.
About, yeah.
It wasn't as it wasn't one of the historical competitive Way Too Cool years. Because mm-hmm. It has like ghosts at Way Too Cool have like thrown it down at Way Too Cool. It was like pouring rain. It was kind of just like a slop fest, like fun. But anyways.
Did they have the frog cupcakes?
Sure did.
I really want to do that race for the frog cupcakes.
It's worth it. You should.
Are they at the finish? So I didn't even know about these.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Are there frogs on course too?
Maybe.
I feel like there's got to be frogs. Like it's all frog themed.
What's the connection?
It's all frog themed. I know that much. I don't even know the backstory, but we'll have to do our research and report back.
Leah would go through streams that was like up to here on Leah, and it's like at my waist. It's like,
no, but yeah, like, oh, this is cool, Katie.
She's like, I need help.
Oh my God. Anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Osprey Packs, the top-notch pack company celebrating 50 years. Happy birthday, Osprey. As the snow starts melting in the high country, I personally can't wait for long adventure days, and Osprey makes the best fast packs. Their Talon Tempest packs are so lightweight. I've been on several multi-day adventures in my Tempest Pro and have honestly forgotten that I was wearing a pack. That's how comfortable and wonderfully engineered the pack is. The Talon Tempest Velocity was just released, and it's sure to be a favorite. Go get yours at osprey.com or your favorite local retailer.
So I just signed up for my first gravel race and I'm super excited for it. I've even reconned the course. It's a 50 miler. I'm like, I just want to compete. And so just on this whole notion of wanting to compete and throw down, right? And I'm like, I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. Like I just bought a bike 3 weeks ago and I'm just like so excited to just go for it just because I miss competition. So I went and reconned the course. I'm all about this. And I find out I did my first group ride today with friends in Mammoth. New friends, new gravel friends, which is very fun. And they made so much fun of me because it's a fondo. And if anybody is listening knows about gravel cycling, because I don't, obviously. A fondo is like a fun race. Like a very – there's no awards. It's like
– It's like a fat ass. It's like a –
And I'm like so crushed because I'm like, oh no, I'm going for it. Like I am going to redline this race. I'm like going to destroy myself. And it's really funny because nobody else cares or like anything. It's just like all for me, which, you know.
Hey, that's all that matters.
It's a little bit disappointing. But to Rachel's point, right? Like I want people to show up. I want to race, you know? Anyway, it's funny.
Just gotta pick a different race.
I feel like this is a good time to share that Katie is now an Osprey athlete, and that's since funny. She's entering the gravel cycling scene, I'm curious if you've gotten your hands on some of the bike packs and what you think of them, because I haven't actually tried them.
Yes, and I have two more coming. Right now, I'm using the Kitsuma 3. Love it. I think. Yeah. So for me, I'm kind of pathetic, guys. Like I have no bike handling skills. So I can't even like reach down to grab my water bottle. I mean, worse is on gravel too. So you're like, and it's like sandy and it's not like you're never in flow. You have to be constantly paying attention. There is no like meditation or zen or like anything relaxing about gravel biking. It is just terrifying. And you're like so focused the whole time. And I can't reach down and grab my water bottle because I'm not that coordinated on the bike. And I can't even reach down and grab food from my little, like, I don't know what it's called, my pouch on the bike because I can't let go of the handlebars yet. So this is why this is a plug for Osprey PAX, is because I need to have a bladder. I haven't run with a bladder ever, like probably since year two of running, and I've been running for, you know, over a decade. I never use bladders. Like, I always use the soft flask in a vest. But now I am all about bladders in this bike pack from Osprey because I've just got this little nozzle and I'm just sipping away on carbs all day. It's awesome. And I've got
this is the best.
Precision Hydration 90 grams that I'm just like, I'm going to stop and just squeeze it all into my mouth at one time. And that's it. There we go. I'm going to do that like 5 times. So, you know. So big, yes, I'm using the Kitsuma 3. Love it.
I feel like cycling is a really good avenue to explore, you know, pushing your gut because there's so much less jostling that you can like maybe get down more fuel and more solids than you would while you were running. I feel like I've heard that Heather Jackson will eat just like a ton when she cycles. This is unverified. I just like heard it through the grapevine.
I believe it. Like, I think that's, we see so much of the research too is with the cycling world first. And I think we've pulled a lot of the evidence from there and then kind of adapted and apply it as best we can to running in general. And man, yeah, I wish we could probably eat as much as they can because I think they're pushing the limits too with like well over 100 grams of carbs an hour, which is just impressive.
You just have to be able to actually like do the motion.
And not fall off your bike.
Get it to the mouth.
You tape electric tape and you make it so all you have to do is like rip it. Gel off.
Pete used to do that when you did Ironman. Automatic. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's asking great to tape your gels for you.
Oh my God.
That wouldn't work with the Precision Hydration 90s, but we could do it with the beta SIS gels that are 40 grams. Guys, yeah. 40 grams and 30. Or above. That's it. I don't got time for these 20 gram gels. None of that.
It's just a waste of 40 energy.
40 grams or more. Anyways. Okay. Yeah, I have Katie. Something to ask you guys about. I want to talk with you guys about coaching because all of us have a different mentality on coaching. I know Hillary, you don't have a coach. You haven't had a coach for a while, but you have in the past, right? I'm curious of if you could start with like the confidence that you are going in to running 200 miles without a coach. I mean, you're such a badass. You're just like, I can figure this out. I would be mortified to do that without a coach.
I mean,
so just tell us about what you're thinking this.
Until we do the post-mortem on the race, we don't know how it's going to play out. But yeah, I don't know. So when I got into ultras in 2013, I did everything wrong. I didn't know anything. And then I started working with Gary Robbins after the first year, and I was one of his first 5 coaching clients. It was like baby Gary coaching, and it was super great and so amazing. Because like in the first year, I got really obsessed. I ran like 12 ultras in the first year because I just wanted to like know everything. And then Gary kind of reined me in and was like, smarter, not harder. You know, like learned so much. And that was when he was doing like Barkley and stuff. And that was like super fascinating to get to see like his whole training for all of that. And like, that was great. Worked with Gary till like 2017. And then I was starting to travel a bunch with work. I tried not having a coach and I was like not quite ready for it. And so I worked with David Roche for just over a year. And he kind of took me through like Cascade Crest 100. And that was like the last big race I did before I just stopped racing for 4 years. And that was really just like the shift in like my professional stuff. Like I couldn't be at all these races and also run and train the way I wanted to. And I think it kind of got to me. Like I'd had some like, you know, okay races. And I was like, do I want to be like a runner, like a like race, or do I want to like tell the stories? And I kind of just had to choose. And it was like, I didn't feel good about just showing up a race and running and not doing well. And that was like a little bit of an ego thing that I had to work through and just be like, what is it that I want out of racing? And like, where do I see this as part of my life, you know? And the field has gotten so strong that it was like, I can no longer just show up and expect that I'm going to do well, right? Like, it's sort of like, I'm not doing the work to justify that. It was a whole interesting thing. It took me, almost 4 years to just like, kind of figure out like what it meant to me. And it was kind of funny that I was at all these races telling all these other people's stories while I was still like, trying to define like whether that was still like me or, you know, mm-hmm. like, but I remember Gary told me something like super profound that I've always like stuck with. And that was, I think he was reflecting on Barclay actually and thinking about his own journey with it. And he was like, you know, you're never going to know when you've reached your like peak of how high you're going to go until you're on the other side of it. Like you're mm-hmm. never going to know. And it's like, that's kind of the beautiful thing about the running journey. Like we're always chasing more and we're chasing being our best selves and we're chasing showing up the best we can be. But at some point, it's just like going to naturally decline. Like we're not going to know where that like highest high is until afterwards. And so for me, I was like, I have to love it for just being out here. Like I have to be okay with that because for me, like, you know, like I had to make peace with that. And it's always stuck with me that like I can't just be out there because I'm super focused on the result. Like it's just, it's not going to ever do it. It's never going to be enough, you know? And so that's when I stopped working with a coach because I was like, I have to just appreciate the times that I can run and race, and but also like give myself grace for not having space for that and not being able to train to the level that you guys are training. And like honestly, I don't know how you hold down jobs and have kids and do all these things. Like it truly blows my mind what you fit in. I think for me, I just lost the joy in running when I became too focused on the results. And so for me, like not having a coach helps me to just like I don't know, just accept where I'm at. And like, it doesn't mean I don't push myself. Like I actually have a couple routes that I kind of treat as tempo runs. And like, if I'm feeling good, like I'll totally like go after it and I'll like do a hard effort. But like, if I tell myself I'm going to go out the door and do a hard effort, like I will clean the house, I will do laundry, I will scrub the toilet with a toothbrush. I will do everything not to, you know?
There's that intuitive training again. I think like probably your years with Gary and David like gave you a lot of great tools to know what you need and gave you a good bank of workouts. And now you are great at just listening to your body and knowing what you need. And when you're talking about like not being results focused, but being more process oriented, like that is also something I'm always trying to hone. Like, yes, of course I want to win races, but I never ever go into a race thinking like, I must win this or like so desperately wanting to win. Even, like I think we can all admit like it's fun to win, but it's also, it has to be about something more. And I think that that just frees it up to a more open-ended, more exciting result. Those of you watching on YouTube can see I'm doing bunny ears, but.
It's so true though. And Hillary, I think you bring up a good point about just the balance of work with life, with running, and just like the priority shifting. And Rachel, this makes me think about your coaching situation because I believe Tyler's your coach, and that
I'm kind of a hybrid coach situation, but yeah,
let's hear about it.
He's my primary coach. He's my trail coach. Well, so I teamed up with the Bowerman Track Club. There's like an elite team here in Portland, and they're, you know, they mostly do track races and road races. And so when I got back from OCC, I reached out to them and asked if I could train with their group for CIM. And so I trained exclusively with them through CIM. And then after that, I just loved the team aspect, and I loved the confidence that the more, you know, regimented splits and stuff was giving me. So I stuck with them through Black Canyon as well. And now I'm, you know, mostly on the trails, but I still train with them once a week. So I got my speed coach there and Tyler.
I love that. That's a nice approach. Like the little combo. And I think that's nice having Tyler too, because it's the part that we were talking about with balance of work and life. And, you know, you're a mom and Tyler knows the ins and outs of your days, and he can almost adjust your training and work with you in like a very like intimate way to make it what you need on that given day, on that given week, which I think is really special.
Yeah. He's a lot of times, like before Black Canyon, I think 2 or 3 weeks out, he was like, what do you feel like you're missing in your training? Like, and it was more, it was less of a fitness thing, but more of a mental like confidence thing. And I was just like, I feel like I'm nervous about the distance. And so we did another longer long run, not because that was really going to change anything probably with my fitness, but it just gave me more mental confidence. And I love that about Tyler. Like it's always a conversation. He doesn't just blindly write the training for like 4 weeks at a time and then say, go do it. It's like day to day, week to week, very fine tuning and yeah, I think we lean a lot on like on my intuition as well of what I feel like I need or what I feel like my body can handle.
And I thought that was really cool this summer too when we were out in Chamonix training. I think between your Dolomites race and OCC, you came back from Dolomites being like, or Sierra's now. No, you didn't. It was, yeah, I came back saying
yeah.
Right. That I needed this. And mm-hmm. you guys worked together for like your next little block before OCC and worked yep. on that. And like, that was so cool to see you go from like lacking confidence in one area. And then by the time OCC rolled around, just feeling extremely confident in that area that like 4 weeks prior, you might not mm-hmm. have felt as much so.
Yeah. That's another good reason to race, I think, because it gives you a lot of information on what you're good at and what you're bad at. And yeah, it's very exposing.
Rachel, I think that something that I'm hearing in this conversation is that you are able to say what you need. I think a lot of runners wouldn't even know what they need, mm-hmm. right? It's like, I want this goal. I have this destination I need to get to, but I don't know how to do it. So they put all of their trust into a coach to say, just get me here, get me there. I don't know how you're going to do it, but do it, you know?
Right.
And I think it's really, I'm curious where you think that came from. Was this from being a runner for so long and having mentors that have taught you that language or to understand that intuition?
That's so insightful. And I think you're right. I don't know where it comes from. I think it's just like, you know, getting older feels like kind of scary sometimes, but it's also really wonderful because you have all of these life experiences to lean on, like times when things have gone really well and times when they have not gone well. And it's not always something you can put your finger on where you can say, oh, you know, it was this workout or this type of training that I did, but it's like almost more of a concoction of feelings that you have in your life. That's kind of what I'm like trying to seek out. Like I'm remembering back to, you know, 2020 when I ran the Golden Trail series during COVID and it went super well. And I'm like, I'm remembering, yes, the training, but also my mindset and like the way that I was slowing down and thinking about how I was feeling and trying to like pull on things like that have worked out in the past.
I love that. And I think that's nice. Like I'm going into my third Western States this year and right now, like beginning to start thinking about this last block of training. And I was on a run today talking to Mike and Anthony Costales a little bit about this idea of like, you know, my training each year has looked different. And it's like, once you have one successful race like that, and you're going back to the same race, you almost like want to replicate the training or you want to see the same results in training that you saw that first time, that second time. But then oftentimes it doesn't look anything like it did the first and second time. So what do you take confidence from?
Or you're coming off 400 miles. And so right, you have to.
Yeah, totally.
Like my training has never looked like this before.
Leah and Katie, I feel like for both of you guys, and I know you both coached by Megan or?
I'm coached by Megan and Katie's coached by David.
Okay. But like both of you have kind of thrown curveballs in your years, right? Like Leah with further being like, hey, like this is way out of the wheelhouse of what we normally do. And then Katie like, hey, I'm going to take up gravel biking. How are you going to coach me for that? And like, so that's kind of interesting. So how do you sort of pivot, but then like you still have these overarching goals with your coach that you're trying to like keep within that framework of like how that's worked?
Yeah, I think I've talked a little bit about this before, but similar to Rachel, like I'm really in tune with my training as well. And Megan gives me miles in training, which some other coaches would be like, oh my gosh, I would never give an athlete miles. I really like it because to some degree, it allows for me to have a say of what those miles look like for what I'm training for. So if I'm training for UTMB, my 8 to 10 mile run that day is going to look very different than if I'm running Javelina. Like I pick what that 8 to 10 miles looks like. And I like that. And Megan often will give me some feedback as to like what she would like it to look like. And we work together and we adapt. And I had written in my training log right before we hopped on this conversation tonight and just said like, hey, this week, like, let's just like kind of adapt with how I'm feeling. Because this past week, I was actually feeling like one of my lower and like deeper fatigue weeks that I've been feeling since further. And I was coming off the week prior feeling amazing and being like, I am ready for this training. I'm doing great. And then almost had to take a step back this week because I had this fatigue that I was not expecting and just grappling with that. And I think I'm in this stage of training right now where I'm just going to like play it by ear, take what the week gives me and not feel stuck in like the plan. Because I think that's what stresses me out the most, is feeling like I need to do X, Y, and Z. And then if I don't do that, then I start getting down on myself and hard on myself. So I think pivoting and adapting and recognizing that this year has not been like any other year that I had leading up to it, and being totally okay with that, because it was volume. It kind of did serve this like endurance purpose. So maybe I feel really strong in endurance right now, but like the speed's not quite where it has been in recent years, and that's okay. I'm being okay with that.
I feel like that's, it can be hard to be like humble enough to kind of, you know, like if you write in your training plan, like feeling great, feeling strong. And then the very next week you're like, no, like just kidding. You know, like that's hard to do sometimes, because it goes back to that whole idea of like, we always want to see forward progress, and then totally. Sort of having to like redefine what that looks like and be okay. And like, I mean, Katie, that's been your year of like, okay, new plan, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's like, I think requires a good level of like self-awareness to be able to do that.
Yeah. But I was going to say, Leah and I, so Leah's been with Megan for like 2,500 days or something, right? Weren't you one of her first? Yeah. And yeah. I've been with David for like 2,300 days or something. Like, we were early adopters to the roaches. And so I think there is this level of trust that you build when you've spent your entire running career with one coach. I'm not saying that you need to do that for any listeners. Like, if it's not a good fit, do like let that coach go and move on. But when you find somebody that you can grow with, I think that you can develop that relationship, and that person becomes really your cheerleader, and almost a life coach in a way, where they're like a part of you for all the ups and downs. It's not just for athletics. Like, they know the ins and outs. And so I feel as if, I think you build this trust. And so for me, it's definitely been like, I'm fine with taking a rest day, two rest days in a row. Like, he knows I'm not a slacker, that I'm not like not wanting to, or that I'm not motivated, but that I need it or something, you know, like he totally trusts that. And that feels good. Like, I'm not trying to show him or prove him to anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just being me. And I'm here for the long game, and he knows that, and he knows my ultimate goals. And so, and he knows I want to get back to the start line as a runner. And that feels really good to know that you have a village around you that's pushing you to get to your goals. So yeah, I think it comes down to trust, and the trust between the two people is really important. But I love that Rachel has three.
I know.
Really, a whole team.
The third one.
Well, I mean, actually, I don't think I could run my third with one in track club. So
Katie, who's my third coach?
Well, I was thinking, you have Tyler, and then I was thinking you have Tyler, and then you also have the like the whole club, like the team is all coaching you. That's what I was thinking.
I feel like I consult Keely a lot too. I feel like she's really wise with this stuff. So I feel like I have a small advisory committee that I seek counsel with. But I wanted to comment on something you said, Katie, about like the value of staying with the same coach and having this like long-term relationship. But I also think that there can be value in changing coaches, and it doesn't have to be like, oh, my coach was not a good fit, or I don't like them or something. Like, they could have been incredible for you and you could have done amazing things with them. And then maybe you just feel like, okay, I think I've sort of exhausted the resources here. Like, they've gotten me to a new level, and now I'm ready for a new stimulus. So just to like kind of play devil's advocate and say that like it doesn't have to be a bad thing if you're parting ways with the coach. Like, it can
be beneficial.
Yeah. And I think for me, when I stopped working with Gary and with David, it was for my own reasons. It was just like, I don't think I was showing up. I wasn't upholding my end of the coaching contract, you know? And I felt like I had to be honest with myself and be like, I can't give them what they need from me in order to for them to do their best work with me. You know, it was sort of just like, I don't know. And that felt like healthier and better. And I felt like if I'd stayed, that would have been worse and like maybe caused the like bad end to the coaching relationship. So sometimes it is just being honest and like kind of just recognizing if things shift. But yeah, like it's super fascinating. Yeah, I know. It's right. It's
sometimes
just people,
it's okay,
right?
To end it.
Yeah. I still love you.
It's not you, it's me.
Oh my God. Such a girl thing too.
I've had friends who have had two coaches for way too long because they were too afraid to break up with the other coach. And they're like, I'm just waiting a little bit. I'm like, no, break up with them.
Lay in the field.
Yeah.
Like, this will not go well if they find out.
Which training may, like, better that day?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I think it all comes down to just, like, the bigger picture of your life and what is working, right? And all the little pieces of our lives that have to come together to make it work. And, you know, it's running is one part. It's an amazing part. But it's cool, Rachel, that you and Tyler can, like, coach and train and that together. I feel like that's a skill.
And make a baby.
The real dance right now is, like, we're leaving for Madeira in 2 days and trying to coordinate the Lewis care and the Teddy care and the travel. It's just, like, it's nuts.
Oh, my gosh.
So we probably just want to get there.
Yeah. We just want to get to the airport and have the kids dropped off at their respective situations.
Oh my gosh,
Teddy,
I am
with
so
Uncle
excited.
Jordan.
Yes, how did you know? Jordan, we love you. You're the best.
Okay, so super quick, give us a quick teaser of what you and Tyler are up to, because I know we're going to, like, dissect that on one of our upcoming episodes.
Oh yeah, teaser for next week, I guess. We're heading to Madeira. Neither of us have ever been, but Tyler's running the 115K and I'm running the 60K, and then we're planning on having a rehash of how our days went for the pod. So stay tuned. Should be super exciting.
When was the last time you both raced at the same event?
I guess Hong Kong, but it wasn't at the same time. So I honestly don't remember the last time we've been running at the same time. Yeah, we'd have to, I guess maybe Sean O'Brien 100K.
Oh my God. Oh,
wow.
I don't know. There's probably another one. Old Cascadia 20 miler and 40 miler, but Tyler ended up dropping out and it was like the most miserable, heinous conditions. Like, so cold. I feel like I wasn't that close, but I almost took down Mario Mendoza that day.
Oh, that would have been cool.
It was still like 10 minutes, but he said he was looking over his shoulder. I'm just pleased that I, like, injected a little fear into him that day.
That's a great feeling. Oh my God, I'm so excited for it. That's going to be awesome. Tune
Are
in
you
next
bringing
week for
your
that
microphones?
One.
Are you, like,
yeah,
just this
one?
Okay. A real pod, guys, is happening on the island.
The hustle does not stop.
We're taking the show on the road.
High content for you guys. I mean, the content, high quality.
Oh my God.
Well, on that note, really great to chat with you guys tonight. Really excited for your race next week, Rach, and super jazzed to hear about your race this past weekend. And then, Katie, I know your gravel race. You're going to make
you're
it as competitive
it.
As you want.
I'm going for it.
Report back. Tell us by how much you won the Fondo.
Yeah, please.
No one cares.
Katie, we can just record like a solo episode of her talking about taking down the field.
Oh man, it's gonna be spicy out there for sure. All right, guys.
Well,
super fun.
Until next time.
Yeah, love you guys.
The Trail Network Podcast is brought to you by Sandy Boy Productions.